All right, this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts is brought to you by Sovereign Extracts. You can check them out for some CBD cartridges, THC, hybrid options, CBD oils, and the like. Also, USG Canada, big shout out to those guys, putting out awesome apparel for boxers, MMA fighters, and for fans alike. And we have got a big fight card coming up. It is SHP 56. It's taking place on October 10th. You can order the pay-per-view at strikehard.net. And top in the marquee, we've got a lightweight main event between Yemi Oduwole and Zach Powell. And I've got Zach Powell on the show right now. How's your day going so far there, Zach?
Pretty good. Just got back home from the gym. Just ate a little bit and totally forgot about this interview, but good and ready to go now.
Oh yeah, no worries, man. I imagine you got a lot on the go, busy schedule and everything like that. But you know, just talking about the whole coming back from the gym thing. Like, are you working at Niagara Top Team right now? Because it seems like you've been getting in a fair bit of work there. So were you just coming back from getting in some work there?
Yeah, so I work at Niagara Top Team, doing my camp there, and I live at the coach's house, so Chris Prickett. So I got a room at his place, and just got back home now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's a couple people that are living there now, too, eh? Like, doesn't Aaron Jeffrey live there as well?
Yeah, Aaron Jeffrey also lives here. We're basically roommates now.
You guys good roomies, like, mindful of each other's space kind of thing? Or is he kind of like that guy that lets the dishes pile up sort of thing?
It's awesome. It's a great atmosphere in the house. Like, couldn't ask for better guys to spend days with. They're amazing. Everyone just vibes very well together, so it's good.
Yeah, definitely a sense that I get from the team there, Niagara Top Team guys. Like, there's a real camaraderie there. But I mean, it's something that you've pretty seamlessly integrated yourself into. Like, I mean, prior to COVID, it seemed like you weren't working at that particular gym as much, but just with some of the circumstances at play nowadays, it kind of forced your hand a little bit to go out there and kind of train. So how's the experience been overall, just kind of like acclimating yourself with like Niagara Top Team and just integrating yourself into that fold there?
Honestly, I think I fit in very well. I fit in very well with the team. I've got the work ethic to work here because it's all guys that work hard and everyone wants to train hard and everyone here wants to make it somewhere with this sport. So I think I've got what it takes to like blend in well with the guys and girls. And as far as like the city, it feels good to be here. Like I like it more than back home, and I feel like I can get away from like some little distractions that I have back home. And it's great when getting ready for a fight to just be focused 100% on the fight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of a rough situation just with like the training dynamic in Quebec, not really allowing for, you know, certain guys to get out there and put in the work quite as much. Like, I think I'd even seen you had a post on social media where you were saying that you didn't even necessarily want to, like, be announced as being from Quebec going forward, like, when you, like, get to that UFC kind of level. Can you talk about that and just, like, your feelings with everything that's been going on lately and just, like, your, I guess, desire to disassociate yourself with the province going forward at this point?
Yeah, 100%. So basically, in the last, I think, 2 weeks, they decided it would, like, combat sports would be legal again, and people can train in, like, little bubbles of four and stuff like that. But it took so much time, and I feel like they've been trying to bury, like, jiu-jitsu and MMA, like, just throw us under the bridge for years. Like, amateur MMA isn't even legal in Quebec, and jiu-jitsu competitions are getting shut down left and right. So I don't feel like I want to associate with a province that doesn't even want their guys to succeed. So, like, well, when my time comes and I'm going to be out here in Ontario, I'm going to just represent Ontario and not Quebec because I don't see why I should represent a province like that that doesn't care about their athletes. So.
And that must be disconcerting, too. Like, you talk about, like, the lack of support for an amateur scene. Like, just the amount of belts you collected during your amateur run. Like, I noticed even a few weeks ago it had marked the 3-year anniversary of becoming the MFL welterweight champion. So, I totally understand the feeling, man. I think it's a, you know, pretty bad situation that they're, like, doing that with, like, the amateur scene especially. Like, I think, like, we really need to see the growth on that level of things and whatnot. Can you speak to your personal growth within the amateur ranks, though, and just, like, what that did for your mixed martial arts endeavors overall?
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to have good contacts within my gym to fight out on the Indian Reserves in Quebec, because that's the only spot where you can actually fight. So I had 8 of my 10 amateur fights out in Indian Reserves, which really helped out my growth. One fight in Ottawa, and one fight, which was in downtown Montreal when they gave MMA a shot, but basically it was under like Muay Thai slash kickboxing rules. It was like 3 2-minute rounds and so many weird rule sets that it was basically disgusting and not a spot for to go from there to pro. If you find all the fights like that, you won't get anywhere. So I was lucky enough to fight on the Indian Reserves, but as for Quebec itself, like the actual province, there's nothing they actually do to help amateur MMA athletes and amateur jiu-jitsu athletes make it out into the bigger scenes. There's no PSO, and all they basically the only reason they care about boxing is judo is because they make money off of it, right? So that's the only reason they care. They don't care about us because they're not making any bucks from us right now.
Yeah, definitely a money-driven thing, unfortunately. But I was also seeing a bit of an interesting social media post you had a couple weeks back there where you're saying you were in desperate search of Matt Lindland's Dirty Boxing book. Like, what else are you researching? Like, who else are you watching tape on and picking up some tricks from there? Because it seems like Matt Lindland is a guy that you're avidly kind of studying there.
Yeah, Matt Lindland's great. He's very good. I'm still looking to get that book. It seems very amazing, like Dirty Boxing for MMA. He's just got like very good skill sets that match well with what I do. I research a lot of guys, like a lot of like straight wrestlers for like the wrestling aspect, and then like I'll look at some MMA guys, like what the best guys are doing, like Conor, Khabib, Volkanovski, and like just take a little bit of each guy, not exactly the same guy all the time, just be like a different fighter, you know, not match exactly one fighter that someone's going to solve the puzzle eventually. Just be my own new fighter that's going to bring different problems to the table.
Yeah, for sure. Just kind of keep growing and have this amalgamated sort of style. But I mean, this is a big fight for you here, man. I mean, like early 20s and main eventing already and stuff like that. But when did the dialogue initially get going for this one? Like, when did the people over at Dodge Sports kind of keep you in the loop about this opportunity kind of manifesting itself?
So I was staying ready for a fight. I was ready for like September, like when AJ and Jazz fought, and I was helping Romero get ready here. Like, I was getting ready myself, just stay ready. So Dodge was already out searching options for me, and then I got a cut on my eye, so I had to heal for about 2 weeks. So he had to like look further away. So we were looking at options for CFFC, LFA, Bellator. We threw my name in there for a fight, a short notice fight at Bellator, and they just took a different matchup. But 2 days after, Dodge came back with the option to fight at the main event for Strike Hard, and said yes, like on the dot, like watched like two fights, one fight of Yemi, and just took it right away.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a great look to be in that kind of a situation, to be like top of the marquee and everything like that. But I'm wondering if you've gotten an opportunity to really check out much on your opponent here. Like, it seems like they've got like the 7 fights to their credit, and they've been on some pretty notable circuits. Like, I'm seeing they were with LFA at one point, and you know, V3 fights as well, so certain circuits like that. Like, have you gotten to check out much on your opponent leading into this fight here? Are you kind of just focusing on your own efforts more so, and then whatever happens on fight night, you can express yourself accordingly?
Yeah, I watched some tape. Like, I found his last LFA fight, mainly watched that more. Honestly, his record's okay, but I don't think it represents the type of fighter he is. I don't think he's a high-profile fighter. I don't think he should be in a main event spot like this, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. Like, I'm just saying, like, he's not the type of dude that should be headlining shows. So it's a good fight for me, and it's a good fight to prove myself and eventually win this fight and hop on to bigger things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like some bigger things to you can represent, like Dana White's Contender Series, for instance. Like, it seems like you're pretty avidly watching that, you know, week to week. And you'd mentioned earlier in the conversation about working with Anthony Romero and just seeing certain Canadian guys too. Like, I mean, TJ Laramie doing a great job on that circuit there. And I think you'd even had a post saying that, you know, if things go your way in this fight here, you'd even be interested in taking a contender series fight in November. So what are your thoughts on all that? Just like the contender series circuit and just like what your level of desire to want to be involved in that would be.
Yeah, I definitely want to get on there. I want to get eyes on me, especially from Dana White. Like, I want him to know who I am. I definitely want to fight Shirai Blackledge on there. I watched his fight, and I would do quick work of this guy. I don't think he deserved to be on that spot. Dudes like him, dudes like Jordan Levitt. And then again, like, it's not disrespectful towards them as like individuals. It's more like skills-wise. They seem like great guys. But, like, skills-wise, like, it's a spot I'd be happy to take against them. And I'm pretty sure the work I would be able to do against these guys would definitely give me a contract and a open door to the UFC.
Absolutely. And, I mean, last year you'd had a litany of issues with injuries, but it seemed like you came out of it with, like, I guess a greater appreciation for what you're doing and some lessons learned from that. And I guess I'm kind of wondering, like, just to that point, like, with a lot of the, you know, COVID stuff and just how unpredictable this year has been, like, is there any lesson that you were able to learn from all of this? Like, is there anything that you were able to pick up on with all of this, like, pandemic stuff going on that you used to, like, galvanize what you're doing kind of thing?
Yeah, I say main lesson is just stay ready. Stay ready, stay focused. You never know when these opportunities can come. And if you're ready, great things will happen. You'll be able to jump on these opportunities and turn them into good things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just a thorough performance last time out for sure. I thought it was also cool that you'd went out and kind of had a couple shots with Surge and some of those guys there, and you did the old A&W kind of rip through and stuff like that. Like, are there any post-fight plans for this one here? Like, are you thinking there's going to be any shots to be had? Like, maybe not the Jack Daniels, but maybe something else.
No, I'm not going to drink. Those shots were horrible, and I'm never taking shots after a fight again. It tasted so bad. man, I don't want to drink after this fight. I just want to take the plane the next morning, come back home. If I'm busted up, just take a few days off, and then just get back ready, be ready to fight in November. And I believe that if I stay ready and if I keep getting prepared and if I get a good win at this next fight, that at some point, like, they won't be able to ignore me and they will give me a spot on Contender Series or some bigger league somewhere. So I'm just going to stay ready and focus right after the fight. Like, as soon as the fight's done and my hand's raised, we're just focusing on the next one.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, like, the professional forward thinking kind of a thing to do. But you even mentioned, like, the travel in there. Like, have you been made privy to, like, what the travel dynamics will be like from the promotion and stuff like that? Like, I guess I'm curious, like, what it's going to look like actually getting you to and from, but then also some of the regulatory measures associated with the event, like the COVID testing and the like. So have you been kind of given a general breakdown of what all that's going to look like, or not so much as of yet?
Tomorrow night we have a Zoom meeting, the fighters and the promoters, basically just going over, like, travel and what you need to get done. So basically, like, COVID tests and all that stuff you need to get done before and once you're there. And I'll have more of an idea tomorrow. But I'm heading out on the Wednesday, the day before I start cutting weight, and just going to be there for, like, 4 days and basically head right back home after. I'm not going to stick around too much. I'm not sure what there is to do in Alabama, so. And the States seem wild lately, so I'm just going to come right back.
Yeah, I'd probably do the same thing, to be fair. But I also wanted to ask, because I'd noticed there were some smiley faces that were on your hand wraps for that PFC 13 fight there. I'm kind of wondering what the significance of that is there.
That's just basically the commission dude that signed off with smiley face, which is amazing. That's exactly how I felt. Felt happy to be there, and he's like, you look happy to be here, so here's a smiley face. This is exactly what he said.
Well, that's awesome. I guess that speaks to the comfortability getting out there and competing. Like, you're just really, you know, in your element, so to say.
Yeah, just like I said yesterday on a post, it's like calm, focused, and composed. Like, that's how I feel before, it's how I feel after, it's how I feel during the fight. I'm just, like, grateful to be in, like, healthy and be doing this. Like, being injured, like, made me realize, like, how bad I love this, and there's nothing else I'd rather do. Like, win or lose, like, this is where I want to be, and, like, I just want to give it my all and reach my full potential. And I think doing this with a smile and doing this being genuinely happy about it is going to help a lot to reaching that full potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a hard worker from what I can tell. But it seems like in your downtime, you enjoy a little bit of stand-up comedy. Like I was seeing you were ripping the old Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer episodes earlier in the year. Like, is comedy a big thing for you to unwind? And like, what are some other things that you like to engage in to kind of decompress after hard training?
So it's less like decompressing and more like my personality. Like I am pretty serious and like on fight day and like during interviews, but if not, like I basically joke around so much. Like even Aaron was saying, like, man, I never know when you're serious. Like, I feel like all you do is like, except when you're training, is like joke around. It's like, so basically like, I'm known for being kind of like a buffoon, I guess I could say, like just joke around all the time. But, this is the way I like to be. And I just love comedy. And I think it's a very important aspect of being happy, man. If you can't laugh about things and like just let go, it's hard to be happy and be positive about life. So I just love laughing and make other people laugh.
Oh, laughter is a beautiful thing, man, for sure. And I'm glad you dig it as much as you do. Definitely a sentiment shared by me. But yeah, you've been great with your time, man. And I want to be mindful of that. Is there anything you'd like to sort of add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, Zach?
Man, just thanks for having me. Really a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. And that's about it. That covers it all. Really great interview. Thank you so much, man.
No worries at all. Great time getting to talk to you. But I think people will have an even better time when they're checking this one out on October the 10th. SHP 56 is going down. You can order the pay-per-view via strikehard.net. We've got Yemi Oduwole taking on Zach Powell in the lightweight main event. Thanks for all the great time and insights, man. And just enjoy the rest of your day. And best of luck with the remainder of the fight preparations here.
Thank you so much, man. Enjoy your day.